looks good. Okay, so we had a little bit of a hefsek, unfortunately. But so I would like to get back into where we're holding and then speak a little bit about Nyanad Yomo in the context. We're holding Soda Revi, which is a Kadmus. It's on page Kuf Lamed Ches, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes before anything else. V'hu, shenamin, ki zeh ha'echar ha'amur hu kadme behechlit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the first being in the world. V'chol nimtza zulasa bilti kadmen be'erka elok. Nothing else can be considered prime. Probably that's the best translation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'rayez hazarkis HaKadosh Rabbis. So the pasuk where he finds it is from the pasuk of Ma'ona Elokei Kedem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the primary being and so on. It's interesting, the Rambam says that in the first three ikrim, in other words, that there is a God, that he is one, that he's not corporeal, there wasn't any disagreement with Chachmei Olam. In other words, Ovdei Avodah Zarah were primitive, and they saw God as being physical and everything else. And that's where the first three exclude all the primitive people, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. The fourth one, Kadmus, is where we part ways with the Greeks. The Rambam Mor Nevuchim has an endless amount of discussions about it. Not endless, but quite a few different things. And he takes on, both Plato and Aristotle believed that there was something there before, each in a different way. One believed that there were things that existed and God before God. And Aristotle said that it is in the nature of things to be eternal. It's not at all even possible to assign time frame, but things tend to be ever-existent, kind of. But Akoponim, it's dafke in this inyan that there's a parting of ways. Valaydavahu, I mean, of all the ikrim, this ikr to us seems to be kind of insignificant. I mean, davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nevuah of Moshe, all of those seem to be real issues. The issue of Kadmon doesn't seem to us to be an extraordinary issue. It seems to be kind of something to discuss on a long winter night. I'd like to try to trace back a little bit where this, where do you find early roots of this type of kfira. So there's a chazal that says philosophe chatzos Gamliel. There was a philosopher, which again is a sort of a code word for Chachme Yavan, answering Gamliel, Amale, tsaya godol lekechem. I'm willing to admit that Hashem is a very big, very creative, very big painter. El shemotza samonim toivim shesiyos say. He had some really good paints to work with. Toyu, v'voyu, v'choyshev, v'ruach, u'mayim, v'toymes. These are all things that it says. Reish v'alkesh ha'is ha'aretz, v'aretz ha'isa, toyu, v'voyu, v'choyshev, v'nei tohom. So these things pre-existed. Amalei, so Reb Gamliel told him, tipach ruch du gavra, it all says in it, bria and to, and so on and so forth. So you find a discussion about a kfira specific to this. It's again, the word philosophy is a code word for Chachmei Yavan. But that's the way in Chazal you find an inkling of it. There's another fascinating shoresh way before that Chazal that we have an indication of where this started, and it's very strange. I'm quoting an Abarbanel. Abarbanel has a sefer called Mif'alas Elokim, which deals with Yud Gimel Ikrim, and he writes like this. He quotes the Rambam, and he quotes the Rambam, he's Medayek. He says, the Rambam says, V'yaspikecho mizoyis ha'sheila, she'philosophe ha'deris cholkin bo mehayoyim, shleish alafim shon elzman ezeh. It's 3,000 years, the Rambam writes, that the philosophers are debating this point about Kadmus. So he says, so the Abarbanel is medayik. What was 3,000 years before? The Aristotle and Plato were in, it does matter, Nevi'im, kind of, towards the end of Bais Rishon. What was 3,000 years? So the Abarbanel says that it was Dor HaFloga. That's what he says. He says, make the cheshbon exactly 3,000 years. I think 10 years off. And 3,000 is not bad. It's a good margin of error. From Dor HaFloga to the Rambam. Interesting. The Chazal say, it says, Vayhi benosam mikedem. By Dor HaFloga. Omer Ablazer of Shimin, he siyu atzmon mikadmoinei shel oylam. They moved away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shalom. It's not frequent. There's only one other place. I did a computer search. There's only one other place where the word Kadmon Shalom is used. And that's also an interesting place. It's in Makis about if somebody kills somebody. It says that the Moshel that's Yotzim Kasheyemu Moshel HaKadmoni Meshoyim Yitzeresha. But at any rate, so we have a Chazal that says that they were nosu mikadmoina sh'olam omri yavshedot. So Dor HaFloga was a time when that happened. What about Dor HaFloga leads you to believe that there was any philosophical discussion about it? What was the point of it? Like what was the ledavahu? So let's talk about it a little bit and so on. If there is something that precedes and predates HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we're not talking about tables and chairs and wood and so on. That's obvious that those are things that are not they're not relevant. We're talking about laws of nature. That two things will attract each other in direct proportion to their masses and indirect proportion to the distance. Things like that. Deeper than that, 2 and 2 equals 4. That if A causes B, A must precede B. And if A and B equals C, then A and B must be equal. The very basic logical constructs are something that are the most basic elements that if we could imagine things not existing, but at some point, these are things that can't not exist. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu might have been first in terms of doing things, but still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bound to something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't be above logic and reason. He can't do things that logic tells you are not possible, are not, and so on.
Why not?
Yes.
Why do they deny Yesh Me'ayin? I mean, they have problems with that.
Well,
why can't you see that they could be that way, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything?
So again, the ayin, well, the reason, I think, and let's try to figure out why did they have a problem. What was the point of it? Seichel, if you walk around, if you need to feel that it's possible for you to know everything or to know about everything or to at least have a handle, there has to be things that your framework of reason is the biggest framework in the world. So at least the for me to get a handle on something means my hand has to fit around it. There can't be any cup that's bigger than the heck of my hand, because else I won't be able to hold it. If I'm postulating that Seichel understands and it can analyze everything and can say something about everything, it means that Seichel has to be able to wrap itself around everything. So that will include HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aristotle, in Aristotle's mind, Seichel is the biggest hekif in the world, and everything is included in that bubble. So I can speak about Hashem, and I can say intelligent things. I may not know everything. So just like, for instance, if I'm not such a great Sherlock Holmes, and somebody stole something, I'm trying to figure out who, I may not know who stole, but I can tell you he has a heart, and it beats, and he breathes. I can make some things about him. There's no person that doesn't have, there's no living Ganet that doesn't breathe. So I can make statements that will include him. He had to get in somehow. He didn't seep in through the walls. There has to be some elementary scaffolding of Seichel that's able to include it. The neshama of Yavan was their most basic sense of themselves was that human seichel is the biggest klal kul in the priya. Don't tell me that this is beyond seichel because there's no such thing as beyond seichel. I may not know all the details. That's fine. I may not understand how the system works. But it's not that my seichel can't understand the system. I'm just lacking. I haven't figured it out or so on. It's very much the heart of who they were.
So it's man-centric. It's like science today.
Yes, very much. So science today is at least a little, there's a polished version of it that says we only deal with things we understand. But the flip side of it is that which we don't understand, there can't exist something that is not within the realm of Seichel. And that's a certain nekudu where it comes from. Yes, I'm sorry.
That Akash Baruch Hu exists within the Bria, Kivyachol? Is that
what
in other words, it's bound
it,
by
the Bria? But the Bria, not the Bria in the physical sense as much, but there are some limitations. There's a very interesting argument, and this is like one of these arguments that when you really nail down both, there's not a real argument, but It's a very vehement argument, but at the end of the day, there's a Trubas Rashba. In the printed Trubas Rashba, where somebody asked him, is it wrong to say that God cannot create impossibilities, such as a four-sided triangle, or that which is bigger fits into that which is smaller, some basic things like that. The Rashba doesn't. We don't have an answer. Yeah.
The Kodesh Kodashim.
Oh, 1 second. There's a sefer written by the Radzina, where he goes to town on this and he points out many places. One of them was the Kodesh Kodashim and so on. The truth is, it's kind of. I think that it's like talking to different things. The reason why there's no such thing as a four-sided triangle is because, by definition, a triangle is three-sided. It's a word game. A four-sided triangle is, by definition, not a triangle. It doesn't mean anything. On the other hand, it practically, can you fit something into something else? Kodesh Kodashim. In other words, I don't think on the practical level, the Shoel in the Tshuva Sarashba entertained any Havamina that there are things God cannot do. So I don't know if there's more than a game, a word game, because down at the end, if you're talking about what he can do, yes. If you're talking about core definitions, can God make the rook and chess go diagonally instead of straight? Well, if you're defining chess as a game where a rook goes straight, then you can't have it, you know, it just doesn't sit. It's meaningless. But at any rate, let's go back to this point here. So the musig of Kadmoinim was, the musig of Kadmoinius was that there are absolute standards, units, fixtures, just like, for instance, in science till quite recently, it was postulated that the speed of light is the only absolute standard. It's become a little shaky. I don't know what the end of it will be with it, but at any rate, it was. But what if somebody has understood, you can measure everything by the speed of light. That's the only constant, and everything will become bigger and smaller and slower and quicker vis-a-vis light or whatever it is. Let's go to the Dor HaFlogger. Dor HaFlogger wanted to reach up to Shemayim. What were they trying to do? I mean, what was the point? They weren't stupid. And the Einish was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had them all scattered away and so on. on whether 2 and 2 equals 4 or 5, you know, a ruler will do, you know, you can measure and so on. What about certain understandings? How do you determine who's a nutcase and who's real? You know, it's in a democracy you vote, but the majority votes in many nutcases. It's not a foolproof riot. So how do we determine the normal and the extraordinary? Why is it that when somebody comes and tells you he saw a flying saucer, you know, you take with 3 grains of salt? Is it because it's impossible? There are things that are more impossible than flying saucers. The flying saucer is not impossible. It's, you know, so what's the... So we take on the following hanacha. The havana and the tfisa of the majority of people, why is it that I understand X, and he understands X, and he understands X, and he understands X? Maybe there's one Y over here, but everyone else understands X. Why is it? It's bistama, because X is right. For instance, if let's say, you know, we ask ourselves, is this line straight or not? So if most people in the room will see it as straight, and one person will see it as crooked, Dr. Elman has a patient. Dr. Aishatu does. The crooked people he stands out, but
crooked people we send to Washington.
What? So you say like this: there is a common denominator, which is emes. The common denominator is the line is straight, and therefore. If you see the majority, or the vast majority, sees it as such, the aberration is going to be the problem. But the fact that independent, another thing, let's take things that are more fine, philosophical things. The idea that people ought to be free and independent and so on, on what basis do we think they're self-evident? What does self-evident mean? It means that the vast majority of people say, yes, it's self-evident. There's no other, self-evident means nothing, because for the person with astigmatism, this line is crooked and it's self-evident. So when we make a statement, if we want it to be meaningful, that something is self-evident, we say, it's a tzad hashav of many people that grew up in different places, in different areas, in different families, and they all have the same hargasha. I guess it's true, and each one is sensing it. There's a morale. I've said it over once before. Why a pishtaim edim yokum dover? The morale says, you know, it's everybody explains that one person could be lying, he could be imagining something, two people, I can't. So it's true, two people are less chance, but four people would be still better. And halachically, the division is between one and two. And trei kemea, it makes no difference. So the morale says like this. The morale says like this: if you have, if I see this, the only logical statement, the only true logic that I can make is that I see the cup. That's the only true statement I can make about it. Can I say there's a cup here? That's not accurate. I see a cup, but if I see a cup there and he sees a cup, then, we're two independent people. We have our own set of eyes and no reason to see the same thing, except this exists, and my line of vision strikes it, and his line of vision strikes it. One person is never made on a metzias, the morale says. He can never say Reuven killed Shimon. He can say, I saw Reuven killed Shimon. That's as I got to say this. Al pishnaim edim yokum dover, two Adam established a thing. If you saw Reuven kill Shimon, he saw Reuven kill Shimon, that's it. Could it be that the man? It could be. But it's the first instance of where it's possible to make that statement, Bechlal. Until that point, you can't make it. So Al Kapanim, the common denominator of all people together gives us a sense of truths. And we're talking here beyond, we're talking about moral truths, about Tov and Ra. If all of humanity seems to think that stealing is wrong and Chesed is good, It must be because there's such a mitzvah that I'm on it.
But it's relative. It's relative. You see, there's gay marriages. When I grew up, it was actually a DSM-3 code. No, homosexuality was an illness, and now you're making tzubas.
Now, if you think it's an illness, it's an illness.
Good. I was reading a book on a different topic completely by a New York Times correspondent and this and that, and written about all sorts of cases. I just passed by the acknowledgments, and the last one, and his last acknowledgement is thanking his partner for being with him through thick and thin and being such support. And it took me, I started to think, but it wasn't co-authored. I said, hey, it's not co-authored, it's one author. And then I took a second look and I said, oh my gosh, it was kind of, but I'll kupon him. Yes. Let's look this to Kuda. So Kopanim Dor HaFlogis said, Adam Arishan wanted, you know, it made the das to be like Elokim Yodea Tov V'ra. Adam Arishan, the Dor HaFlogis said, if all people get together, the Tzara Shava of humanity is Elokus. Since everyone is a chelkel kai mimal, since everyone, however you want to say it, the bringing everyone together creates a point that I can say we've reached the top. All HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ma'al HaKadosh Baruch Hu is he has it all together, and we're splintered. But if we're together, the Tzad HaShava of human understanding, it rivals God. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mefazed them. So that's the pshat. The Kadmono Shel Olam means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the baseline of the world. And everything, Tov and Ra, is only measured in one unit. Is it Tov Bein Elokim? Is it not Tov Bein Elokim? I can have a sense of it because a person has a conscience which is a sort of a sense of Tov and Ra, but it's not something that in itself is the determinant of it. We have the ability to sense it, but that doesn't make it as such. So there was that started already. Dor HaFloga, they wanted to get away from Kadmono Shalom, from the idea that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the absolute rock bottom. The Rambam, when he says he speaks in Hilchos Tshuva, where he defines apikorsim and minim and so on, the Rambam's lashon about if you don't believe in kadmus, what's the problem? So the Rambam's lashon is. Chamishim nikra minim, the five minim. One who denies God, or that God runs the world, or that there are two or more, or is a bal guf or bal tmuna. Those are meanwhile the first three ikrim. V'chein ha'oma she'eno levado harishon v'tsur lekol. The person that says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not the rock bottom of the world, and the word tsur is kind of bedrock that you build on. In other words, it is the absolute bottom layer on which everything else is built. And the Ravid Shtol Sudas Chazal we said over here, Om Avram ke oise shama lekechem tsaya godel hoya. So Rav is telling to that Chazal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu might be the executor of the world. He might have done everything. He might have quote unquote created everything, but there was something there. He's not the, and the nafgamina is, must I refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the baseline? Obviously, on the philosophical level, it's not so much a gap. But when it comes to things like that, I mean, let's take that as an example. If what in modern society, there's a sort of everyone sort of kind of acknowledges the Bible and it's wonderful, but why is it that we understand, we look differently at things like gay marriage? It's because if everybody today thinks that there's nothing wrong with it, then obviously there's nothing wrong with it. There's no other way to prove it. I mean, when they thought that it was terrible, or they think it's good, why is it that that's okay and polygamy is not okay? Why not kamina? Consenting adults and so on. The answer is because most people think that it's not good, so it's an obviously flawed relationship. Obvious means simply that humanity as a whole together, or let's put it, enlightened humanity, or the op-ed columns in the New York Times, or whatever you want to, whoever the bedrock of the world is, that's what it is. So Chochmas Yavan, this is where they split off, because if human, it's either or. Does human understanding have a limitation? And the limitation of human understanding is the point of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there it stops. In a certain sense, you were oiker what the person's mahus is. So chachma is exploratory, but it's not. It can't determine things, and that's something that goes against the grain of it. Or the person says chachma is only good at observing phenomena, but it's not. It can't be oimer on it. That's why there was such an equivalent. I want to add another piece in this also around chachma and so on. The Rambam puts special emphasis on the musig of time. That Kashbar create time or not, and this is by him a big deal and so on. And he even goes so far as to say a chazal, which is mashman the chazal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create time, there's some sort of mashmos, he writes it's a das yichidot, that everybody holds not like him, and so on and so forth. Very, very, very strong lashonos, really goes to town. So this also seems to us kind of it's a nebulous thing, not really nogea too much. Well, why was there such a focus on this point with time preceding HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is it possible to imagine about time and so on? So I think time in its biggest sense, for any system of logic, for instance, a person who is intuitive, who works by intuition, so he might call the right shots, but cause and effect don't have shaychus. There's no such structure in his mind of cause and effect. I don't know. I think it's not going to work. I think it will work. That's the way he functions. And he might be very right, for whatever reason. A person who's analytical will need to work with a certain system. I'll need to say, if this and this is what happens, then how could this be the result, and this is where we've seen it happen, and this is similar, this is different. All of that terminology requires a flow. It requires a flow from A to B to C. And that's the elementary nekuda of zman, means that you can have a structured events. It's something that's what... not having zman means... by definition, that seichel has no shilton. In a makom where you can't have zman, then shilton, there's no shilton for it's not that you have to have seichel to have a shilton. I was once in a summer place together. It was a heritage retreats, and Reb Dov, it was a place in California. They had like a Kiruv type camp, and it was very, very hot for a few days, and then David Gottlieb came, and the heat happened to break. So he's very cute, he's a wonderful person. So the first thing he said, he would like Darlum to acknowledge the fact that his coming, that it cooled down. It was very cute. Then he got into the whole discussion, and one of the points he was assistant head of the philosophy department, John Hopkins, once upon a time. He was talking about that cause and effect need not be sequential, and whatever it is, the whole thing. So in the evening, that's on symposium, I said, I would like to thank you very much for bringing the cool weather, but I have a complaint. If cause and effect need not be sequential, why couldn't you coming today not have brought the cool weather 3 days ago? You're telling me that there's no... It's something that for us is unthinkable. In any structured system, like a computer program, the steps and the arrows are vital. You know, this goes to this, that goes to this, and then goes either here or there, and this follows that or that. Taking away that structure destroys it. It's the whole shulton of seichel has no makom in that place. And that's why I think it was such a big deal. If you're telling me that there was that
isn't
time,
because seichel is just an understanding of that system. You can't have seichel.
Seichel, logic and structure to seichel is what odors are to the nose and what light is to the eyes. This is the vehicle. This is the sense that it senses. But the Greeks thought a lot deeper than that. They saw the atzmis of the world is das and seichel. And there's nothing beyond or beyond that. And to say that there could be a metzias when zman was not relevant is destroying that. That means the metzias is beyond that and above that. And that can't be. That's where it attacks the very foundation of.
One of the things I'm struggling with is the chiluk between this yisod and the yisod harishon. Because the yisod harishon says that everything is tolerated, the existence of anything is tolerated on the Ribono Shel Olam.
Right,
and I think it seems to me that an outgrowth of that is the Yisod HaRishon.
So the Rambam seems to imply it depends how far you want to go. Listen, everything, all Yud Gimel Ikarim could be included in the fact there's nothing but Hashem. Everything could follow in a certain way, but there's room to make that argument. It's hard to make an argument that Hashem created wood but not glass. The difference, the first one is talking about things. And this is talking about something much deeper than things. The concept of there being...
Concepts?
Yes, in other words, the most basic structure of Zman. And like Rambam said, there were people that felt that way, that Zman came before everything, or everything was eternal. There's no such thing as being able to say things started. But like he said, like he said, Saya Gadla Kecham, there was elementary particles in the world.
Isn't Zman tolerated on physicality?
Well, not everybody thought that way. Zman itself doesn't... When you're talking about a logical structure that A causes B, there are no things involved. You're talking about an idea that things flow from this direction to this direction. It's an idea. You're not talking about things. That's I think, the difference. This is what he's talking about.
Do the Greeks believe in the infinite? Do they have a concept of the infinite?
I'm not sure.
That's what eternal. That's what the world was eternal.
They said there couldn't be any beginning to it. I don't know if they used the word. I don't know. I mean, it seems to be the way I understand from the Rambam. Again, I didn't see the original. The way I understand from the Rambam is that Aristotle believed that things exist forever. That's their etzem metzias, and I guess it's not a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but it's everything else. It's, you know, it's everything. The things don't have an end. They don't have a beginning or an end. They are what they are, and there's no way to put beginning, no way to put end to it. That seemed to be it. But Al Kaponim, I wanted one more nekuda. It's interesting that the zmanim that Chazal. You know, the Torah was kaveya zmanim for mo'adim, and our bracha for that is shechionu v'kimoni v'gan zman hazeh. That's a bracha that a person is zochah to a mitzvah midei pam l'pam, or is zochah to a zman. In other words, the zman that we make a bracha on kiddush on yontif is that we zochah to a pesach, to a sukkis, and so on. The nusach that Chazal gave us for Chanukah and Purim, which are both the Rabbanim Deke, is by Yomim Ahem Bazman Azeh. And it's very interesting that it's as if we're saying the following. I mean, what do the words mean? So, in the Oraisas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, observe Pesach, and this will be sort of a declaration that you affirm the truth that there was a Pesach, and so on and so forth. So the Zman itself is kind of Akash Baruch Hu dictated it, and so on. The Chachomim seem to imply, when they said by Yomim Haheim Bazman Azeh, that the Zman itself, there's a stronger implication that the Zman itself is endowed with some sort of skula. The Torah tells you, mark off this time, and that's that. Here we're saying by Yomim Haheim Bazman Azeh, we're saying the event happened then, but it happened in this Zman. It's as if I'm saying that the events actually stamp themselves on the Zman. And that's possible only if the Zman comes before it and is a bigger circle, the thing doesn't leave its mark on it. The fact that there was a Yad of Hashgacha, that the Yad of Hashgacha is bigger than the Zman, then it leaves its stamp on the Zman. And I think you feel it more in the Rabbanan, when it says, Bayomein, Bazman Azeh, there's a stronger sense of that than you would in the Raisa. There was one that it's the common Nusach for Hanukkah and Purim, and it's different than the Raisas. The Raisa, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, observe this day, and that's that. I don't need to. The Rabbanan said we can we can tap into a certain Zman. You know, in the Rabbanadik ones, we say it's worth commemorating this because the Zman continues to have the stamp of it. So it's sort of a double sense in Hanukkah that you have the sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah above Zman. You have places in the Gemara says that, you know, if Chachamim play around with the Zman, they mavur chodesh, they make the chodesh bigger, smaller, then certain physical phenomena follow suit. It all goes that if Chazal mavur the Shana, they the psulas, and if not the bulas, it goes with the same line that Zman is the hardest one to really imagine that it's possible a framework that overshadows man, and part of the fourth yisoid is to understand that zman and by extension all structures of logic and seichel's ability to get a handle on the bria is within a segment of reality. It's not the entirety of reality. Mokim hispardus. From Baridas to Klal Yisrael and Tyre.
Rabbi Shemayim, the difference between the Greeks and the Jews is that we acknowledge Kadosh Baruch created it.
Yeah.
He gave us permission to set it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Greeks hold, he's not in the picture.
Correct. I mean, the Lashon, the Rambam about Bechira, it's fascinating how the Rambam doesn't say people have Bechira. Rishus Nesuno Chodom. We were given. We were endowed with certain abilities and rights and powers, which is fine. So within that circle, as long as we are free to do as we wish and as we understand. But there's a circle, and it's not the other way around. It's not within the circle of our personality included God. It's within the circle of God, he's included our person. A world of difference in the what happens when Seichel falls short, when you can't understand it, when it doesn't make sense, when it's... Okay, I fell off of Hanukkah.
Why can't this be Christianity too?
That what?
Because they have other things, the Trinity and whatnot, but basically they're doing the same thing in a sense.
If anything, they seem to have more of these battles to God. They seem to kind of.
They're just changing his identity.
Oh, you mean changing his identity? That's interesting. I didn't think of it that way. It was actually the reasons why the Greeks wanted to posit Kadmon, from what I saw in the Sepharim, was they felt it would be a change in God if he went from a no-time world to time world. In other words, as if you're saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow changed. That seemed to be the logic behind it.
So they would be behind the change?
It's Ke'ilu, they hold it to be a higher form. God is immutable, he's never changed. Nothing fundamental has changed from then till now. Kind of, that's the... Yeah, but we still have a problem. In other words, because they couldn't solve the problem of how is it things changed and time came into being, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't change. You know, it's... I don't know. It's just it comes over and over again, same. But I'll compare him. But in Christianity, I don't know. The Christianity issue seems to be a lot more the corporeality and the, the goof and the look out. You're going to have to see all the.
It's interesting the McCormick theory where the essence is that essentially man is in charge and God is sort of in the background.
Right.
Came about from the Dora Flaga where he said if we could get everyone together, but not the Malchus Shakai, but
yes,
to compete.
Which was what communism said, we believe in man. We believe in man. So mankind united.
The Zabaza.
You know. Now that it's the Shiv of Kim Jong-un, what's his name? Like the that was it. Man together, everyone together. There's nothing. We can't be stopped. If everybody cooperates and does together, then we rule the world. We do everything.
So, I'm reading a book called The Wisdom of the Crowds, where they say that the collective intelligence, even some people, their points all over to it, but the average, if you take the average, it's...
The collective intelligence selected Obama. That's how much for your theory.